I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. It's a Friday, and that means it's time to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We call it Ben Fred Fridays on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And as always, this is presented by Henderson and Watercutty. Henderson and Watercutty, see their website. No matter the offense, Missouri or Illinois, no matter how big or small, their website is stlcriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com, and what you have there is commonly asked questions, and then they walk you through it. Also, their phone number is listed there. They are available 24/7, and I want to personally thank them for our coverage of the Stanley Cup Finals. We were able to do some great things on the website because of them, and that's Henderson Watercutty, stlcriminaldefense.com. There's a lot to get into with Ben Fredrickson. Since we last spoke, there's been a parade. There has been some good baseball, some bad baseball. And, oh, by the way, a guy named Albert is coming back to St. Louis. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dan. I'm doing great. And, yeah, man, the whirlwind of big moments for St. Louis continues. You go from Stanley Cup to the parade to probably the most anticipated return of a baseball player St. Louis has ever seen. I don't think that's an exaggeration for the folks who are going to be cheering Albert Pujols or abstaining from cheering, depending on how they feel about his departure. But I think it's unique. It comes 8 years into his contract with the Angels. There's been plenty of time to let wounds heal and probably, you know, just remember the most remarkable 11-year run as a Cardinal ever. I think there will be a lot of wet eyes at the ballpark, and there's probably going to be a welcome back unlike any that we've ever seen before.
I think baseball does a lot of things great and a lot of things right. I do think this has been a disservice to the fan base, in particular here in St. Louis, and this will be the one time that I really talk about maybe the East Coast bias, if you will. As I've said since he left, if this was Derek Jeter leaving the Yankees and there was interleague play, believe me, there would have been a way to get Derek Jeter back to the Bronx, not once, twice, maybe three times. Cardinals have been out to Anaheim twice already, and Pujols has not been back to St. Louis. I just think they've done a disservice in how they've handled this situation, because fans initially, whether you were happy, sad, clapping, don't want to clap, but this guy moved the needle here in St. Louis. And the last time he stepped on that field as a player was in 2011. And now here we are in 2019, and it's the first time that he'll come back to St. Louis in a regular season capacity and first time ever, period. Obviously, the Cardinals and Angels never hooked up in postseason play. So there's a lot of things I think about with this, but the number one thing I want to talk about first is that I think it's really been unfortunate that the Cardinal fans, and, you know, not every fan can hop on a plane and go to L.A., they haven't had a chance to see this guy in St. Louis, and that was a poor decision by Major League Baseball.
I think it's a failure on a few different levels. One, for what you described, kind of the fans would have liked to see Albert closer. I mean, they saw him in his prime, but closer to his prime in Los Angeles as opposed to where he is now. I mean, there was some conversation as to whether or not he's going to be in the lineup. He hasn't. He struggled the past couple seasons. This is not the guy that the Cardinals fans remember. Certainly for the you know, aesthetic of seeing him be a threatening, you know, dangerous hitter, it would have been nice to have it happen sooner. And then for the marketing aspect too, I think baseball has a lot to learn when it comes to giving fans the matchups that they want. You know, they can put a series in London, they can put a series in Mexico. But it takes 8 years to send Albert Pujols back to St. Louis. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Now, the flip side of that, and I'm curious what you think about this, is this will unanimously be a warm welcome for Albert. There will be a few folks who choose not to cheer him. There might be a boo or two. I don't think we'll hear it. I think it'll be drowned out by the roaring of the crowd who remembers what this guy did, remembers the World Series that he won, remember the streak of all-star appearances, the Gold Gloves, the Silver Sluggers, the batting title, the MVP. I mean, you remember one of the best Cardinals ever. And it's in a player who could have gone down as the best Cardinal of all time if he would have stayed, just based off of his, you know, trajectory and his Hall of Fame career. But the fact that it comes now, and you've seen how Albert Pujols has aged, and the decline really hit him soon into his career in L.A. I mean, he still owed a lot of money after the season. I don't think there's any, you know, clear-thinking Cardinals fan who sits there and goes, man, I wish we would have had that contract. Or, man, I wish Albert, without a DH in the National League, was still playing for the Cardinals. I think this will – the delay, you know, for all the various reasons, kind of results in this being a happy homecoming as opposed to one that would have been a little more volatile if it happened a year or 2 years into his deal with the Angels. And I don't know if that was a part of it. You know, you never know who's putting their finger on the scale of the scheduling, but it seemed like an opportunity missed. But if there's a silver lining of it, is that this will be a very warm-hearted, you know, happy response for Albert Pujols when he comes back. And that's really what he deserves. I mean, even if he was making, you know, that contract worth it for the Angels, and it was a big contract, and those contracts usually don't end up being worth it for those kind of players. But even if he was killing that contract, I think still enough time would have passed that people would have been happy to see him. And in years past, you know, 2-3 years into that deal, it might not have been a blanket applause. It might have been some, you know, more divided fan base. I think if there's a silver lining to it, that's it.
I do too. I do think, and you asked me for my thoughts, and I told your colleague at the Post-Dispatch, Dan Caesar, today in the paper, the local paper here in St. Louis, I think it'll be the greatest reception and ovation for a visiting player that we've ever seen come through St. Louis, and I truly believe that. Yeah. I also believe that there is a small, very small portion of that fan in the crowd tonight, the fan base, that will elect to either boo or just not clap or applaud or stand. There's so many things going into tonight that I'm curious about. Yachty and what he does when Albert steps to the plate. You know, how long
on home plate?
Well, what I said was that he might go out and if Bader's in center, he might go out and tie his shoe, you know, just and then come back in, you know, how long that takes. The approach of the opposing pitcher, Michael Walkup, and what he does, understanding the gravity of the moment, what the Cardinal players, those that played with him, John Mozeliak, if Bill DeWitt is here, standing up and applauding. I think those are important, you know, to me, it's fun. It's kind of drama, right? It's fun to see that stuff. And in general, those things, but number one on my list, and I don't think people have talked about it, and I said this to Dan Caesar, I'm really curious about what he does, Pujols, when the gravity of the moment hits him. And, you know, you'd have to think that he's thought about this for a long time. And whether it was this year or in year one, what would it be like if I step in the box again in St. Louis and the reception I might get, the crowd, how big will it be? being back in St. Louis? And you don't know the answer to that until he steps in the box, and neither does he. And my point is that the emotions come flooding back, and the love that he's going to get tonight, it's my guess, and I think I'm right about that, will be overwhelming. And I'm more curious about what he feels. And if he's true to maybe, and a follow-up to that would be this, Ben, I wonder if there's been any point where he said, man, I could have been the best Cardinal ever. And the money was what it was, but my marketability as staying in St. Louis and being the face of this franchise, not only now, but for years to come with Stan, what did that mean? Was it really worth it? It's human nature. I would think that all those things may come flooding to him at some point over the weekend.
Yeah, I think that's all accurate. I don't know that we'll get him to say all of that. You know, he's always kind of walked a fine line, and I get it I understand it completely, between wanting to show his regard for St. Louis, but also wanting to show respect for the Angels because they did give him what he wanted. And he also knows, you know, as a honest self-evaluator, that he has not, you know, really, and not through effort, but not held up his end of that bargain because of the injuries and the decline. So I think he would feel pretty disingenuous if he said, look, I wish I would have stayed in St. Louis. And that's kind of a slap in the face to the Angels. So he's kind of toggling a fine line there. But, you know, I have a different thought on this, and this would be something that maybe I get laughed out of the room for, but I did try to explain it in today's paper. I think of the things that Albert Pujols did for his legacy here in St. Louis, leaving might have been one of the better things he did. And hear me out on that. Because he had a bookend, he has 11 years of outstanding baseball. For 11 years, that span, he was the best hitter in the game, arguably. You know, he had the All-Star appearances, the MVPs, the batting title, the two World Series. He was a force, and he was the face of Cardinals baseball, and that's how he'll always be remembered here. When he steps into that box tonight, no one's going to be remembering the fact that he's a below-average league hitter for the past two seasons. No one's going to be remembering that he's got more strikeouts than runs scored since 2016. No one's going to be remembered that he's spending, you know, most of his time, more than half of his at-bats with L.A. as a DH, and what that would have looked like if he was trying to play first base here in St. Louis. We are not kind. We, meaning, you know, media, fans, consumers of the game in 2019, we are not kind to aging players. Ask Adam Wainwright how he feels. You know, he hears the chirping and the people who wish he would just shut it down, even if he has a good game. He doesn't have the game that he did when he was at his best. Most guys don't when they're at that age. You know, ask a guy like Matt Holliday, who had arguably the best long-term contract the Cardinals have had and still had critics at the end. You know, Ray Lankford is another example. There are guys who would say that, you know, maybe it's better to go out on top. And so while there will be resentment, I guess, for Albert forever for leaving and for, you know, quote unquote, you know, finding a greener pasture than what many consider to be baseball heaven, I do think there's something to be said for the fact that his time in St. Louis will be remembered as a great and never stumbled, and that we never saw him fade. We never saw him skip a beat. If he was hurt, okay, he came back. I mean, there's something to be said for that being your legacy. Especially now more than ever, where we're constantly inundated with stats about contracts and how they age and aging players after 30 and all these things. None of that will ever be applied to Albert. He'll never be viewed as the Cardinal who was trying to get to the end of his contract, as a guy who was grinding it out without premier results. We'll only know him as a decade plus of premier elite talent. And I think there's something to be said for that. There's something kind of romantic about that.
I agree to a point, but I also think he'll be remembered as a guy in some fans' minds. And I'm not saying this is right, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying this is the way that I think some fans view it. He's also a guy that left. And
sure,
that will frustrate people. And that is part of the story and legacy of Albert Pujols. I never agreed with why he left. And look, that's my personal opinion. I think that your marketability and the money you can make in this day and age of free agency by staying with one team and putting up iconic numbers and championships and hitting 500 and 600 here, 3,000 hits, and only the good Lord knows how many more. It could keep going on and on. And you do it with one team in this day of free agency in all sports of guys that move, and you're the face of that franchise, and you go down as the greatest player of that franchise. That, to me, is more than a dollar sign, and maybe it equates to even bigger dollar signs. I don't know. I never thought he should have left. It frustrates me that he did. I loved watching the man play. He's the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever seen. He's probably the greatest big moment baseball player I've ever seen when the chips were on the line. But to your point, I think that some fans will look at it like you just explained, Ben, but I also think a lot of people look at it black and white, and they just say, well, this was more money, apparently, from all reports, and he took the money and ran. And that's the right of a fan. Just like tonight, if a fan wants to boo, cheer, stand up, clap, it's their right. As long as you don't go run out on the field, it's your right to do those kind of things, right, in the stand. I mean, you paid for your ticket. That's what a fan can do. And I'm also, now to kind of advance the story, really curious how Brad Ausmus manages this weekend. Brad Ausmus was in the heyday of the Astros and the Cardinals rivalry. He knows all about Albert Pujols and saw it firsthand. It's not like just some guy saying, well, I'm managing this superstar going home. He saw it, and he's a bright guy, Ivy League educated. Albert's done a lot of DHing. These fans want to see him play. And I don't care if he was 90, they'd probably come out and watch him play. So, you know, Brad Ausmus and the Angels are, there's a competitive spirit to this too, right? You want to give the man his due, and it's special, and it's a moment so long in waiting, but yet you got to win games too. And if Pujols isn't the correct option at a particular time late in a game and you pinch hit for him or you don't start him in a game this weekend, there's a little pressure on Brad Ausmus right now. I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Brad Ausmus has got to do what he needs to do to win a game, and that's he's got to think about his fans and the crowd he returns to if he plays Albert Pujols and it doesn't give them the best chance to win a game, because I don't think the fans in L.A. are going, man, we hope that Albert has a great return at the expense of us winning ball games. Those who are paying attention to the Angels, which is a whole other thing that is really crazy about this, is I think it's going to be this awe-inspiring experience for the Angels players. Like a guy like Mike Trout, who is the best player in baseball, to see what the return is like for Albert Pujols. And Mike Trout is going to go, oh my God, this is what it's like to play in front of a city that just eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball nonstop. And I have a lifetime contract in a city that will never, ever be like that. Now, I don't think it's going to make him have regrets. Mike Trout's getting paid and he lives in L.A. he's never experienced what Mike Trout's about to witness watching Albert Pujols this weekend. Brad Ausmus can't get sucked into that. I mean, I think you hit him clean up. You start him tonight and see how it goes. I mean, Albert Pujols is going to have so much adrenaline. I would imagine that starting him every game in the series might not be a bad bet. I mean, he's got some power this season. He's not exactly an easy out at the plate. Cardinals pitchers have not exactly been tearing through everyone, and the Cardinals lineup is not exactly producing a ton of runs. So I don't know that you'd be you'd be in a bad spot playing him, but you got to see how it goes. I mean, you play him tonight, start him tonight, see what happens in the games moving forward. But Ausmus can't worry about, you know, what Cardinals fans want to see. And he knows clearly what kind of impact Albert has. He was catching when Albert hit the train in Houston. So I don't think anybody has been closer to Albert's impact than that, being behind the plate for that home run. But he's got to worry about winning games. And with kind of, you know, the other thing too here is it shows you the impact of Albert Pujols that you've got Mike Trout's first trip to St. Louis, Dan, and he's the, as we say in the newspaper industry, the notebook lead. And then buried in the notes is, oh, by the way, Otani's coming too, who's a pretty remarkable player in his own right.
Absolutely. A quick question just about the Cardinals, and then we'll wrap it up with a little Blues talk. But just in general, you know, your thoughts on the team and then how the game ended last night with Flaherty getting picked off at second base.
Yeah, I don't like pitchers pinch running, and it's not because of that. I don't like it because if Jack Flaherty gets drilled or breaks his thumb or wrist diving back into a bag and he's out for months, then we're all going, was that really necessary? And I've been on the record with that. I don't like that look. Now we can talk about his base running skill. I know Mike Schilt wore it after the game, but Mike Schilt's not the one out there getting caught. So I think that's on Jack. If you're going to be out there, you got to put yourself in a position to not get picked off, just like any other player. If you're trusted to go out there, then you're trusted to run the bases, and you got to not get caught in that spot. But I know a lot of attention will be on that. But to me, that game speaks to what we've seen from the Cardinals here lately. It's non-winning baseball. We're seeing Marcell Ozuna not catch a fly ball in the outfield. We're seeing balls get through, you know, the infield at bad times. We're seeing just a surprising lack of situational hitting. I mean, these guys can't come up with a sacrifice fly to save their life. They can't get a guy in when he's on third base, and it's kind of home run dependent. So it's kind of the offense that we thought the Cardinals were going to be trying to get away from. They, as Mike Schilt said, they want to be able to attack in different angles, and we're not seeing much of that. And I don't know where it starts or what the answer is. We beat up the rotation a lot, but it's actually looked better. They've gotten, you know, a strong performance from a guy like Daniel Ponce de Leon. I don't know what he has to do to prove that he deserves more of a shot, but he's working at it. It seems like he's climbing uphill for some reason. I'm not sure why, but the pitching has not been the worst part. It's been the lack of offense and really just a lack of, I think, competitiveness. And I don't say that lightly. I know these guys don't like to have that challenge, but when Jose Oquendo is saying that they need a kick in the butt, and, you know, and people who know a lot about baseball are watching these guys saying they don't look right, then that's a bad sign. And I don't know if I keep kind of waiting for something to trigger. And apparently it's not playing one of the worst teams in baseball in the Marlins. Maybe it's playing a team that could come out and give them the business this weekend in the Angels. I mean, the Angels are playing well, and there's going to be so much attention and so many eyes on this game that if the Cardinals go out there and embarrass themselves, at some point it becomes a thing of pride. They have talent. They have guys who can get this done, but they just don't seem to be able to fire on all cylinders. And, you know, I think it's a good sign that you're seeing Goldschmidt get going a little bit. You know, you have to have your better players lead this team out of this rut. That's really what it boils down to. The guys who are making the big money have to lead by example, and they really just need to get back to the kind of style that we saw that first month of the season when they were doing the little things right. Right now, it seems like they're doing all the little things wrong.
Absolutely. I thought your article, Ben, and I mean this, and you and I are the best of friends, but you know I respect your work, and you've done some dandies along the way and some I don't like. So there you go.
But yeah, this I hear one, about those ones.
Yeah, I definitely let you know. I'm just kidding. but you make me think. And on, I guess, Sunday, when you wrote about riding with Pietrangelo or walking or however you did it, because it seemed like all the players were walking in the parade, which was remarkable, you made me have goosebumps three different times. I'm getting goosebumps right now, and I had tears in my eyes reading your piece, which is hopefully the goal of a columnist, to make you think, to make you feel, to make you want more. And that's what I had on Sunday reading in the Post-Dispatch. So unbelievable piece that you put together. The question would be, I'm curious about just, first of all, you know, we talked about the run of the Blues to win, but the parade, now that you've had a chance to get away from it, digest it, let it sink in, your time with Pietrangelo, what do you think of it? What comes to mind? How would you be able to describe what you witnessed on Saturday here in St. Louis?
Man, surreal. It was kind of like a dream, and not as, you know, not in terms of, I'm sure it felt like a dream for Blues fans, a dream come true, but just the experience, it was so unique. Because I was kind of at ground zero. I basically decided I was going to be Alex Pietrangelo's tail, and I was going to follow him from beginning to end, whether he had the Stanley Cup or not, because I felt like this season was really a testament. You know, he was kind of a microcosm of this Blues season. He was didn't have the start he wanted. He was questioned a lot. He questioned himself wearing that C. Did he deserve it? Should he be the can? Could he be the right guy for this team? And then we saw him break through. And my gosh, he was so good. He was so good in the postseason, and especially in that final series, including that huge goal that he scores in Game 7. So I just kind of wanted to trail him, and you know, he gets it, and he was open to the idea. I wasn't riding with him because he was up on the Clydesdales wagon, so I was actually walking alongside, which I thought, okay, this might be a challenge. Well, then he gets down so early in the parade, and then he basically walked the parade on foot up and down, and I had my phone tracking the distance. And I wish I would have put this in there, but by the time that day finished, I had walked like 6 miles. So I think I was like, I don't exercise. So that was like a ton for me, but he's lifting the cup above his head. He's hoisting it every time he's called to hoist. That thing weighs a lot. He was worn out by the time it was over. And that's on top of drinking God knows how many beers. I think he drank like 8 beers in a matter of like 2 miles. It was amazing. And was still like, you know, checking on his family, checking on his kids. He was doing everything, and that was kind of like what he did all season. So I thought that was kind of poetic in some ways. But the moments that stunned me and I tried to put in the column were times when he, on top of everything else, you know, watching out for the cup, making sure his drunk teammates didn't mangle the thing, checking on his triplets back in the golf cart, checking on his wife, checking on his mom and dad who were there, his mother-in-law. He was also kind of spotting people in the crowd. He spotted a young man with Down syndrome. He spotted 2 men in wheelchairs. Went out and got them, brought them with him to the Stanley Cup, let them lift it, kind of paused the parade to have these moments, and it was staggering to watch. It was really amazing. I mean, it was tearful just to watch it, let alone for these young men who were experiencing it. It was incredible. And I thought that was really spoke to who he is and him understanding his role. And so that was kind of my experience. And then you get done and you go to write and you start to catch up on all the things you missed because you were kind of in the eye of the hurricane and the crowd was so big. And I remember at one point watching kind of, I guess, going down Market and looking up and there were people standing on top of parking garages. And you kind of realize how deep this crowd goes back and how high it goes up. And then you turn the corner by the ballpark and there are people hanging out of those slats in the parking garage right outside of Busch. And it's just, I mean, it gives you chills just to see how many people there were. And then you fold in the fact that there were what, I think like 4 arrests, which are not good, but they were like minor, silly, you know, people intoxicated doing dumb things. And the general just happiness of the crowd, everybody got along. People were being friendly toward one another. They were helping each other get a chance to reach out and touch the cup. There was no fighting. There was no, you know, there was just joy. And I think that to me is what I'll remember is there were so many people, and I don't know what the number was. There's people fighting about the number. I don't really care. I saw it with my own eyes. It was packed. And it was crazy, but in the best way. And I think that to me is what I'll take away. It's just the joy and how it kind of infected everybody around it. I think it's really, really cool.
The other thing that it does for me, it just reinforces what I've always believed and have tried to preach this past off season by, you know, bringing MLS to St. Louis and building a stadium and building momentum and turning the page from Stan Kroenke and Kevin Demoff and the lies of the St. Louis Rams, now the Rams that are in the NFL on the other side of the country, is that sports can unite a city. It can bring people together, and it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Sports can make you sad, too, and it can hurt, and it can kick you in the gut. And it leads me to this. MLS, to me now, is the next thing that we look forward to. I mean, we got Pujols tonight. We've got Cardinals baseball. Before you know it, you're going to have training camp for the Blues, which is amazing. It's not that far away when you think about it.
Camp is like a week. It's like this weekend or something like that. It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. So that's right around the corner. And next year, hockey season will be remarkable. You know, it's going to be fun. A celebration of this year. It'll carry over. But this showed again and reinforced what sports can do for a city. And so I would implore any political leader that is against MLS or a fan or just somebody that's a naysayer to look at MLS and say, we need to get this done because this city in particular rallies around their sports franchises. It was always that way for the most part, and it certainly is that way now. And I don't mean this to be disrespectful, and this is to myself, too. I'm a St. Louis native, grew up in the city limits, inside the city limits, from the actual city of St. Louis. We don't have a mountain. We don't have beaches. We don't have the ocean. What we do have is sports, and we love it, and we support it, and we go to the games, and we follow the teams, and we live and die with those teams. So, to me, if MLS is around the corner and there's some type of bickering over, you know, minute details, get it done. Get this thing done. Have a sense of urgency and make this become a reality because it's another step of positivity in our city. Whether you like sports or not, that stadium creates jobs. It creates momentum. It creates people, young people going downtown in particular. It's something that is very important. And as I've said from day one, I'm not the biggest soccer fan. My kids love it. They play it at a high level. They would go to these games and go crazy. STLFC has done a great job with what they're doing. But this is on the big picture. Just look at it as a business coming into our community and investing in our community. And people, all people, in my opinion, should get behind something like this, especially because of how it's structured with the minute ask on the public and the fact that the private investment is millions and hundreds of millions in. It's something that's very important to all of us, and I think it's something that we all need to get behind, rally behind, and look at the Blues and say, this is a good thing for our town.
I'll just add this, Dan. You said it well, and one of the first people I saw at the celebration beneath the arch, I thought, man, that guy looks familiar. Sure enough, it's Jim Cavanaugh down there celebrating with his can of beer, just having a good time, wanting to celebrate the Blues. And I know Carolyn Kendall Betts was down there as well. There's one thing that I've kind of taken away from the fallout with the Rams, and it's the importance of having owners who care about a place, who want to be in a place, and who truly mean it when they say they see themselves in that place for a long time. And the Cardinals have that, the Blues have that, and the soccer ownership group would have that. I think that's something that, you know, you have to be paying attention to, and you have to really vet as a region. You can even point to it with Tampa. I mean, the news the other day that the Rays are exploring playing half their season in Montreal. You don't want to be tied to a team that's going to do that, or a team that's constantly leveraging you for more or threatening you to leave. It has to be a relationship where both teams have the best, and both the teams, meaning the region and the sports team, have the best for the region in mind. And I think the soccer ownership group checks that box in a major way. They want to be a part of this St. Louis team, whether it's the Blues and the Cardinals, and they're okay with all of these teams are okay with seeing that sports revenue dollar split a little bit more evenly. They think it's good for the area. And I think the soccer ownership group has showed that time and time again what their intentions are. And I can't imagine it getting held up, man. I really don't think it will. I think with the amount of money that they're pumping into it, I know there are always going to be some hurdles that have to be cleared, but I think this is going to get done. And I think you have to look pretty hard to find something to nitpick about it.
Absolutely. Ben, great work on the Stanley Cup run, the parade, as I mentioned, the article on the Blues captain, and it should be a lot of fun tonight as Albert Pujols is back in St. Louis, and we'll catch up next Friday. Thanks as always.
Sounds good, man. Hey, I need a prediction from you. You think Pujols goes deep in this series?
I do. The guy
I do too.
The guy rises to the occasion. I can't remember a time. I was actually thinking about this last night. I can't remember a time, Ben, and I did most of his games. You know, I was doing games prior to him being called up. So I can't remember a time where he didn't deliver, you know, and even with, you know, just not striking out, hitting the ball, hitting a rocket somewhere, it might be an out. But he was such a tough out when the game was on the line. He relished it and loved it. And as I said, he's the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever seen in person. I mean, he was just remarkable. So to answer your question, yeah, I think he does.
I think he does too. If it's not tonight, it'll be in the final game of the series. But I think it's going to happen in one of the two.
It'd be unbelievable. Hey, buddy, thanks, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
Talk to you, buddy. Talk soon, man.